Opinions expressed on this podcast or show are expressly the opinions of myself and or my guests and are in no way connected to Anchor, which is this podcast platform, Spotify, any other available platforms, companies, or entities. Welcome to Keep Talking, and I am Betty Collins, your host. How's everybody this week? It is now the, what's the date?
The
11th. So it is now the October 11th, and happy Thanksgiving, everybody, because it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope everybody's in the middle of a great big turkey dinner. I'm doing a podcast. I, honest to God, am. Yes, Geraldine,
I'm
and if you would...
No,
if you, I'm not cutting any of this out. If you want to get involved, no sweat.
You go right ahead. Enjoy.
Thank you. So my voice is crackling. I am a lazy napper because I'm right now... This podcast is coming to you from the Miller Center in St. John's, Newfoundland. And so the Miller Center is a rehabilitation place. I didn't do the podcast last week. I said it was technical difficulties. I lied. It wasn't. It was technical difficulties with me. I had a very, very, very... I felt that... When I was brought in here last Friday, that this is it. This is where I'm going to live the rest of my life. I'm not going to see my dog anymore. My husband's going to have to come visit me all the time. I'm not going to be able to do. So, Monday morning, I took that in hand and I said, okay, I need to talk to a psychologist. I really do. To try and raise my vibration or make me feel better. And it was very interesting when I asked to see the psychologist within an hour. I was taken down to an office, and I was told that the gentleman's name was Ben. And Ben is my dad. Ben Scotland, my father. However, this Ben is British and sweet. Just a very nice man, and directed me into my thinking, and that was what I needed. I needed somebody to say to me, listen, if you keep thinking black, you're going to get black. And that's kind of how I was feeling. So, after I spoke to him, one of my friends messaged me, and she is a psychologist herself. She said to me, Dr. Joe Dispenza, do not forget Dr. Joe Dispenza and the fact that he broke his back and he literally fixed it with his own mind and his thinking. So several people have said to me, oh, can I, you know, is there anything I can do for you? And every person who says, is there anything I can do for you? I say to them, yes, there is something you can do for me. You can send me golden light that will heal all of my neural pathways. That's all you need to do. And I will thank you very much. So this is a week in, and I heard a few nurses say to me last night that we've heard you're doing really well. And so I'm amazed with myself. And now I've got a new attitude and I'm saying, fuck this, I'm doing it because I can. Everything I've ever done, I've just been undoing it. Doing it. So I also have a guest with me and I just pulled her into it. So Ms. Jessica Williams, our PhD almost.
Well, I have to apply for PhD, but master's.
You got your master's.
I have my master's.
Yep. And your master's is in?
Religious studies.
Now then, this is the really cool part, because Jessica and religious studies translates into?
The religion of tarot.
The religion of tarot. Like, how cool is that?
Anyway, I think it's pretty cool.
So was that the course name that was offered?
No, that's the name of my thesis.
I wondered that. So I have one other roommate, and she's just doing some stuff over there when you're what you're hearing in the background. It's kind of hospitaly stuff. So I want to get back to the religion of tarot because you taught me tarot.
Yep.
You taught lots of people tarot in a totally different, in a non-negative, non-invasive way. Like, I can't possibly read for anybody and tell them, oh, your uncle's going to die in 6 months, or you're going to have a car crash next week. I can't read them that way. And it's thanks to you. No, truly.
Well, thank you.
So, you have your master's finished.
Yep, the thesis is finished. It's going through peer review and a collective review with the department. So once that's done, then I will have officially my degree.
Yes!
Yeah, my master's degree.
Where,
of course, I'm a fellow, so I am a fellow master's MA. So
that's right, and that's right. You have worked so incredibly hard, Jessica, to get where you are.
It's been a challenge, absolutely. I mean, I started in, so I have learning disabilities.
Yeah.
I really don't want to be a victim when talking about
that's them. Right, right.
Because
you're not negative.
They're part of who I am. It's not like I can just erase it and be like, okay, this never happens
exactly.
to me. But also, on the other hand, I'm aware and fully aware of how it impacts my everyday living.
Yeah.
So I have to self-advocate constantly for it. But I also don't think that it should hold me back. Well, as a child, I was tested a lot. And one of the funny thing is because I'm moving and selling my house, I ran into a test packet that I had from grade 7.
Wow.
And it showed I was in the 5th percentile of writing. So what that means is that 95% of the population is better than me at writing.
Okay. And now I'll say to that, better in what way?
Well, so on the test scores that they provide to you, the knowledge and the information and my ability to be able to make cohesive sentences that make sense, that aren't fragmented, that flow, is only in the 5th percentile.
And you just got
And I
your
just finished
master's.
My master's.
Like...
So,
no joke.
It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, okay, so I do have this learning disability. Yes, it impacts my ability to be able to do things maybe at the same speed as other people. Mm-hmm. So, for example, it took me 3 years to write this as opposed to somebody else 1 year.
Yeah. But you just went dead on, head forward with it.
I did. And I did a little bit every day. Once my funding ran out, I couldn't do it full time. I had to do it part time.
Yeah.
I had to get a full time job, but I still did it and kept going at it. And luckily, I had a boss that was willing to work with me and help me with my hours. So I was writing in the mornings and working later in the afternoons and evenings. So it worked out well for me.
So here's a question. I know you'll say yes to. Isn't it true that when the student is ready, the teacher appears? When the teacher is ready, the student appears.
Absolutely.
Right? Because it's like you were everybody you needed was in your path. You didn't did you have to fight to get there?
Some of the things I did have to fight for, anything to do with scholarships while I was upgrading to be able to get to a master's, I had to fight for. More so than the average person, because it came down to I applied twice.
Yeah.
Because first I would apply for the scholarship, and then I'd have to appeal it and say, look, people, you need to take a look at, you know, the situation that I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
You need to take that into consideration when making your decision. You know, I deserve the scholarship.
Yes.
So it was, so unlike others who, you know, sometimes it just comes really naturally to them, mm-hmm. and were able to get funding very readily and quickly through their writing, for me it was definitely a struggle. I figured out ways to be able to compensate and deal with things, so I ended up hiring a writing coach,
mm-hmm.
who was a godsend, to really help me kind of formulate and get together my ideas so I wouldn't have so many fragmented thoughts, and taught me how to do things in flow. And
perfect.
So my writing has drastically improved. I would say I'm definitely not in the fifth percentile anymore.
Because I wonder, when you were talking about applying for your scholarships, I wonder how people who don't have to fight for it, how they appreciate it.
I think it's a different type of appreciation. And don't get me wrong, anybody who gets a scholarship has worked hard. Like, there is absolutely zero negativity that I feel towards somebody who's gotten a scholarship, because I know exactly how hard they've worked.
Yeah, yeah.
The problem sometimes is that sometimes I feel like I shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
You know, it's that life's not fair factor.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, get over yourself. Life isn't fair. Suck it up.
Yeah.
Right? Because
yeah.
It's not.
It's
There's
not.
There's nothing about life that's fair.
Absolutely. 100%. Absolutely. Listen, me lying here in this bed that blows up to accommodate bed sores, not having legs that are like noodles, but they feel like tree trunks, because it's like there's no muscle tone at all. Me, who had calves like concrete, reduced to this, it's like, you know what? Life's not fair. Suck it up, buttercup, and make it better. Just by listening to not listening to the negative thoughts that are going through our head.
Yeah, so that's easier said than done.
Oh, baby, don't I
so
know
Don't let anybody kid you when they say that, you know, you shouldn't get your negative thoughts get to you. Because I have, and luckily I have some friends that, like yourself, that are like going, okay, would you get out of your own way?
Yeah.
Like, this is, you know, you're doing the self-sabotage cycle. I mean, like, when I was in the throes of writing my thesis, the bucket full of tears.
Well, I'm still, like, I talk about Dr. Pepper, and I'm for some reason now I'm okay. But I talk about him like I'll never, ever, ever see him again. Two or three times this week, I even said to Bob, I said, I am terrified he's not going to remember me.
Yeah.
Here I go. Okay, water, people. Sorry, just taking a second for a water break. And the number of people who have animals have said to me, your dog will never forget you.
No.
So Bob and I have decided, or I decided, asked the nurses if it was okay that I go outside next week, because we're supposed to have 2 days 15 degree weather.
Oh, that would be beautiful.
And I said, can I come down to the parking lot and have a visit with my dog and my man? And they said, perfect.
No, that'd be good.
So, you know, I think we put mountains in our own way sometimes.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm good at doing that. Oh, I'm actually an expert at putting mountains in my way, so I could teach you all about it.
But you know what? Ooh. Every mountain we've put in our way, we've gotten over it.
Yeah, we have.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
With nothing but sheer, pure determination.
How's everything going with you?
And determination on my spectrum. So if we're talking about the level that you're vibrating at, let's take a scale from 1 to 10. So 1 is in the bottom of the bucket and 10 is at the top. Every time I think of it, it's like my vibration when I came in here was 0. It was past the bucket. It was down, way down. And my thinking before I even went to hospital, I'm not going out of that place. I'm not freaking going to that place.
Probably about halfway through my thesis, there was a point in time I had an analogy and I had written about it where, because everybody was asking me, well, when are you going to be done? When are you going to be done?
Yeah.
And the problem is that with my particular situation or issues, I don't have an end time. I'll be done when I'm done, right? Like, I'm going to keep working on it and work on it and work on it and work on it until I'm done.
It's your own, man.
Unfortunately, for me, being able to put that into some sort of calendar was just, it was impossible for me.
Yeah.
So about halfway through, when I had handed in my first copy to my professor, who staunchly rejected it.
Oh, God.
And told me I did not have enough religion in my religious studies paper.
Oh, shit.
And I had to go back to the drawing board, and I had to almost rewrite the analysis side of my thesis.
Yeah.
And my analysis alone was 60, 70 pages at the time.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
So it was a lot of work, and I had to go back, and I had to revamp, and I had to look at everything else. And I was in school every morning for 2 hours. So I started at 8:30, and I left at 10:30, and I'd go to work for 11.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then when I was done work, it was 7:30, and I'd get myself my lunch and everything else ready for the next day. And soon enough, I was up at 8, you know, out the door at 8 o'clock in the morning, at school at 8:30. And I did that for a long period of time.
Yeah, because I remember the long periods we go through without even contacting each other. Just like, Jessica's in the middle of all this. I'm just going to leave her. She'll contact me when she's ready.
And so, at one point in time, people were like always asking me, and it's kind of like, it's like sitting in the bottom of a murky pond.
Yep.
Where you can kind of see that it might be light above you. But knowing that you can't see that light or can't enjoy the light until you're done being in the murk and the muck. And I remember saying that, please don't ask me to see the light, because right now the light doesn't exist for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And that this murk is all around me right now, and this is all I know. And what I need to do is I need to sift through all that dirt and sand until I build up a mound big enough for me to put my head above the water. And, that kind of shifted, that allowed me to shift and give myself permission that, you know what, I don't have, there is no timeline to this. Like, there are people who, yes, they're able to write their master's thesis in a week. They can sit down and just do it and pump it out and it's perfect and everything else. I am not that person.
No.
I excel in other ways.
Yes, in fact.
I don't excel in this way.
Yep.
This way is a lot of work, but I have tenacity.
And determination.
And determination. And so it's a very different thing. So now I have that mound built up so I can stick my head out of the water, enjoy the sunshine while this process goes through.
Yeah, yeah.
But it sometimes, when we choose directions or we choose goals that seem to be bigger than what we are, sometimes we just can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Sometimes we can't go there.
Yeah.
And that's okay too. But it's also about, like you talk about different energies and everything. It doesn't necessarily might mean my energy wasn't all light.
I get it.
It was more of like a neutral energy where I just need to get this done and stop asking me to be distracted by other things.
I get it. And the fact that, I'm one who used to have a lot of anxiety, a lot. And I think about anything, tomorrow or the next day or how am I going to, whatever. And, of course, listening to Dr. Joe, I realized. He put it very eloquently. He said, anxiety comes from thinking too far ahead. That's it.
And depression thing is about thinking too far in the past.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
You know, and not to wake up in the morning and think about what I did yesterday, what I got next week, how much I'm blah, blah, blah. You know, just do your morning routine. Just and be happy. And be happy that you can. Right?
Absolutely.
And me sitting here like this is like, I'm saying all this, but I can't. But that's, can't, shouldn't even come into it.
But you can't right now.
No.
I couldn't write right then.
Yeah.
It's so hard because, especially as we get into new age and new age practitioners, we beat ourselves up when we go like, oh, I said the word can't. That's such a horrible thing to say.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
We need to cut ourselves some slack because, there's times where you're just not going to be able to.
It's a fact.
And that doesn't necessarily mean that you never can. It just means that right now I cannot do.
And it doesn't necessarily mean either that you're not progressing in that.
Yeah.
Right? And just hearing those nurses last night, I've been here a week, and saying how well you're doing, it's like that meant the absolute world
Yeah. Well, what my professor said to me, she's like, you're the hardest working grad student that we've ever had come through our doors.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck yeah. Damn straight.
You were.
You know, and I did. I had to work for it. It was not given to me on a silver platter. It was not something that came easily to me. I worked and I worked hard.
Yeah, you
and,
did.
You know, there is something to say about hard work.
Yep. Yeah.
You're going to work hard and we're going to walk again.
Yeah, I am actually.
And cut my fringe.
I know. I was looking at you when you came in and I thought if I had my scissors, I could just reach up and trim your bangs for you.
Yeah, yeah. Because I know it's driving you nuts. Because I cut it myself.
But you know what? Most people can cut their own bangs pretty well.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the lucky part. My poor brother, last night, he lives in Swift Current, and I've been doing his hair ever since they moved back here from Toronto umpty thousand years ago. And he called me yesterday, and he said, I'm asking permission to be able to go to another stylist. And I said, Bill, you can't. I said, I can imagine you're going around like a woolly bear. So then, and when I hung up the phone, it was like, oh no. Does that mean I'm going to lose all my clientele in this? Right away, I shut myself down. I said, stop it. Stop it. You don't know where this is going to take you. But I do know, because of my teaching of tarot, my learning of tarot, and my oracle cards, every single one are really, really positive. And, you know, you may not think right now that you're going in the right direction, but you are. And what you're going to see a lot better on the other side. And it's like, oh, well, I'll go with that. I will go with that. And yes, and last night somebody said, you'll probably be here a couple of months. And I thought, a couple of months? That's into December. And now I'm sitting here going, so what? I've needed, my physical body has needed a rest for years.
Well, you've picked one hell of a way of doing it.
But the other side of it. So if I had just had these accidents at home and was seeking therapy, physiotherapy, occupational therapy, mental health therapy, I would have to pay big money. I would only be able to get X number of physio, X number of ortho, what OT? Occupational therapy. I would only be able to, I would have to call a social worker. There's a social worker here. An amazing psychologist. He was the first one I saw on, as I said, I think earlier on Monday morning, his name was Ben. And I have physio every day. I have OT every day. Mm-hmm. I do exactly what they tell me. I'm not going to move outside that and try and do more like I did yesterday by sitting up for 4 hours and now I'm paying for it. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. I'll pay. And then I'll learn. You know, like, yeah, maybe this evening I'll get out and sit in my chair for an hour. Not four.
Yep.
Right? So I'm not pushing it beyond what they tell me to do. Because I don't want to cause further injury to what's been done.
So if you stick within the realm of what you can do,
yeah,
and push the boundary just a little,
yep,
then that will shift for you too.
And that's exactly what they're doing. Like, I think I told you before we started the recording how we work with physio. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was before or because I don't want to repeat myself, but physio, they start, I really just wanted to stand up. That's all, just stand me up. And the physiotherapist is a little tiny woman. She's sweet. But she said to me, we do not know if your torso can hold your weight, right? Can carry you on those legs. So right now, it's all upper torso work, doing the core work. So the things that I do when I'm not in physio, like I'll lie here and I will clench those muscles in my torso, you know, tighten them, and loosen them. just, and to me, that's getting the muscles moving, getting stuff going. And this morning, I was happy enough when the nursing staff came in, you know, to get us up for the day and washed and whatever else needed to be done, I was very, very happy to sit right up straight in this bed all on my own. Now, there was a nurse on either side, and they were doing their thing, but if I had started to move at all, one of them would have caught me. Mm-hmm. And I think he was already in here, but there's one nurse on this floor. I absolutely love him. He introduced me by his first name. I'm not going to say it. But he told me last week, or the other day, he was back, and he pointed, and he said, "I'm the boss." And I said, "Okay." So now I call him boss. And now every time I call him boss, he says, "See? She knows. She knows. She knows I'm the boss." Mm-hmm. So, you know, meeting new people, not knowing who I'm going to meet. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a very interesting ride.
And it is.
I think I'm going to keep it interesting.
It's going to be a roller coaster too. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, when you go down, don't beat yourself up. Love yourself up.
Yeah. And thank you, Jessica, because that's one I need.
Yep.
Sorry, everybody. I ended that last last piece Jessica and I were doing because my phone started to ring. I did thank her very, very much for being a guest on my show. And I thank all of you for listening. And if you want to contact me, you can contact me through the Anchor app itself. I know that if you open up the Anchor app, it's start your first podcast. You don't have to start a podcast. You can look for podcasts in there. So I keep talking. And why not? Because that's all I do. And I will be back next week. You can reach me through Anchor and I've got four different Facebook pages. I've got my Betty Collins personal page, my Betty Collins eFactor page, the Wonderful World of Wands, and of course, the Keep Talking page as well. So that's it for this week. I hope you have a fabulous week. And again, Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. We've got a lot, an awful lot to be thankful for, even when it seems like we don't. You know, we forget about, and this has been a big lesson for me this week. We forget about the things that we have already in our lives that we take for granted. You know, we just take it for granted. So daily, it doesn't hurt to look up and say thank you. For all, even the hardest lessons in the world, there's a lesson in there for us. There's something in there for us. So, with that being said, take care and have a good week. I'll talk to you next week again. Bye.